And now, part two of the Soccer Report Extra podcast for February 21st, 2012.
Spurs didn't look very good against Stevenage.
That was a pressure on Harry, the old FA and the old crowd.
Which actually is maybe the transition to Stevenage Tottenham.
Ah.
But they didn't look... and a lot of the papers and read that admitting the missed a fair bit of creativity. But well, Stevenage actually played them really well.
And
it was a good game.
And there was, you know, it's not the first time that scoreless draw at Liverpool. Spurs weren't...
Yeah.
Very impressive either. And, you know, I had the chance to win it with Bale going through the middle. But they also
beat Newcastle 5-0.
Exactly, with a performance that was quintessentially
just
Spurs.
Decimated Newcastle in the first 30 minutes.
And tapped into our theory about the money ball.
Yeah.
In the future with guys like Louis
Saha coming in.
Doing your little job.
Yeah.
Off you go. Anyway, Cup.
I don't think Stevenage are going to go March 7th or whatever is a playoff. I don't think they're going to White Hart Lane and win. But I thought they're really, they're pretty direct.
Mm.
But they're a team on a good run at the moment. Two successive promotions. Sitting sixth, so they're still in a playoff spot in League One. And a team that seems pretty well organised. And it's interesting that Gary Smith's hitched his wagon to them.
A team who, over the last 15 years... I've had pretty good tradition in FA Cup. There was obviously the Newcastle game, which is quite infamous. And they've been always, you know, particularly in that draw, when you'd see Stevenage be drawn against a bigger high-profile team, you'd go, oh, you know, that, say, Premier League or that Championship side won't relish having to go there.
On a wet night.
Particularly that wet night. Those wet nights. You ever hear that when the people use that analogy? It's never windy night. I always hated more playing in wind than I did in rain. That's just a personal perspective.
Rain's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting...
Yeah, so that was Stevenage got to take Tottenham a replay. Chelsea, Birmingham replay. Arsenal out. Sunderland through to play Everton. Everton quite comfortably beat Blackpool 2-0. Could have been 2-1, but Kevin Phillips had one that's still going up in the air. But it was one of these. The game was over. Really, Blackpool gave as good as they got after going 2-0 down, but too little too late.
Blackpool, to tap into something that I know you want to talk about a little bit maybe, Blackpool played a completely understrength team. Now you get to the fifth round of FA Cup and you're a Championship team.
But Stephen Holloway, he's a maverick.
You might think, oh, Cup,
yeah,
that'd be exciting. No, it won't be exciting at all because we're in the hunt for the playoffs. So that's where our priorities lie.
Yeah. Win the FA Cup and you pocket about $5 million. Get to the Premier League and the minimum you're going to pocket is about probably $55 million.
It's a bit of a difference right there.
Yeah, puts it in some sort of context, doesn't it?
Interestingly, sorry, it's getting slightly off topic, but...
That's not like us, is it?
So from the three teams that were relegated from the Premier League last year...
Blackpool?
Birmingham
and
West Ham. All potentially could come straight back up.
Well, that's maybe the power of parachute payments.
I can't remember the last time that all three
came up. Well, you got to remember coming through the playoffs is
correct.
Tricky.
And I think if Blackpool are to get up, they'll have to once again go through a playoff situation. Yeah. But you know, sometimes that, you know, and we talked about even last year.
And you know, it could be a situation, you double that up by the three promoted teams from last year may all stay up.
Yeah, which would be a terrific changing.
Quite a turnover.
But I remember at the end of last season, because we're so good at predicting things, me particularly predicted a tough time for West Ham in the Championship. Because sometimes that team has difficulty in transitioning from the top flight to a lower tier.
But then they put Big Sam in charge.
Big Sam changed it all.
And Flight Commander Sam.
And also worth pinpointing Chris Hughton, who had a good weekend with a draw against Chelsea. Birmingham had a poor start to that Championship campaign.
A lot of people
were going, I don't know about Hughton. And they were kind of mid-table for a while and very kind of uninspired.
Apparently unbeaten at St Andrews this year, though.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of draws in there.
Probably, but even then, they look like a pretty workman-like Championship side.
Yeah, I think if they come up to the top flight, they're not really giving much, are they?
I'm not sure. There's much being added there, not without some sort of investment. Yeah. Crawley lost 2-0 at Stoke. Mick Jones, man of the match.
Roy Dunlap.
Yes.
Sending off after 17 minutes.
Thought that was a little bit harsh. Certainly worth a booking.
Mm.
Studs up a little bit late, but wasn't high. But then gave an atrocious penalty at Stoke. Shawcross. He may be an Olympian next year for the women's rhythmic gymnastics team with that move.
Ooh, there's a lot of competition in that rhythmic gymnastics team.
Wow, did he throw that one? It was an atrocious decision. But Stoke, interesting. Valencia, right? Go to Stoke, a wet, cold Thursday night.
Antonio Valencia?
No, Valencia, and then get beat 5-1 from Barcelona. It's quite clear that Stoke softened Valencia up for Barcelona.
Which all points to, let's, for once and for all, settle it. Let's have a friendly in the summer on a Wednesday night in Stoke.
Not in the summer, it's got to be December.
But normally it's, it rains in Stoke all year round, isn't it?
Ice Station Zebra.
Yeah, get Barcelona over there for a friendly.
Sort it out.
Let's separate the men from the boys. Let's see if Messi can dodge a Ryan Shawcross tackle.
So Stoke go to Liverpool in the next round. Brighton go to Anfield and commit a record 3 own goals in an FA Cup match.
Gus Poyet saying afterwards.
Did he say that?
He said that and then followed it up with actual words.
That was his Mr. Ed impersonation.
You know what? I don't think
Lewis Dunk and Liam Bridcut.
Dunk.
Names that are now in the history book.
Dunk and Bridcut.
Yes. Dunk with one. Bridcut Duncan, with
Dunk
two.
And Bridcut sounds like an administration firm.
Now, was it Dunk? Was it Dunk that had the keepy up?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think it was Dunk that had the keepy up goal.
I lost count after
where
a while.
It wasn't a good advert for ball control. He decided to keep it up and then clear it, but lost control of it and put it in his own goal.
I mean, that's, you know, hapless.
It was. But Liverpool just dominate. Do you know Stuart Downing got an assist?
Yeah, but not in a league, is it?
Well, that's a step forward. And Liverpool got a goal from a corner.
In the words of Paula Abdul, one step forward, two steps back. Right?
Was that Paula Abdul?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'll believe you. And Bolton. Bolton continue.
Get your nod of approval from Luke there. Yes. Are you a closet Paula Abdul fan, maybe? No?
Millwall 0, Millwall 0, I should say, Bolton 2. Leicester knocking off Norwich.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I saw a headline when I was doing, just looking
at
stuff.
Was it Leicester knocking off Norwich?
No, it was earlier in the week. Maybe it was later last week, I can't remember. But comment on the Norwich papers how much this cup run could be worth to Norwich.
But also, is it worth more than gaining promotions in the Premier League?
It could be worth 600,000. Well, guys, just take it. Now, that's £600,000. So, you know, okay, it's $900,000. Mm. But just check. Every point in the Premier League's worth $800,000.
Oh, dear.
It's pathetic.
Let's be Avenue.
So that didn't make much sense. So what we've got in the next round, we've got
Liverpool Stoke,
Everton Sunderland, Chelsea or Birmingham versus Leicester.
Yeah.
And Stevenage or Tottenham at home to Bolton.
Yeah.
The thing is, if it was Leicester at home to Chelsea or Birmingham and it's Bolton at home to Tottenham or Stevenage, it'd be better games, I think.
But here's an interesting theory for you. For all their horrible season and all the horrible goings on at the moment, Chelsea could find themselves in an FA Cup final.
They could again be their fourth in the last 6 years, won 3 of them. Would that be enough to keep Vyas Boric's job?
Well, I just think that there's
double wasn't enough to keep Ancelotti in his job.
No, but given circumstances,
so that wouldn't be fair.
You can't do that with me.
Oh, come on.
No, with him. Yeah. Come on. Are serious?
Ancelotti will be phoned up. I want my job back.
That's only your second cough drop in this episode.
I've got one left.
That's pretty good going. I thought you were going to. Well, it's better than the Velcro strap sound effect.
What I need is cough drops with Velcro.
Oh dear. But yeah, I'm just it's a season like that. I'm not writing off Chelsea.
So we've Liverpool
to a cup final. We've got Carling Cup
this week. We've got Carling Cup this weekend. Liverpool and Cardiff.
Bellamy will score an extra time winner
for Cardiff.
For Cardiff,
he can't lose. Can't lose, can he?
What do you want? I scored a goal in a cup final. Yeah,
for
Craig,
my,
though.
For my boyhood team.
For my boyhood team.
Boyhood team.
If he scores an own goal from a header, it'd be nice. Yeah.
Liverpool should win that, shouldn't they?
They should. But one of...
But?
But? When have Liverpool ever done something they're supposed to do?
Struggling, well, many years. Was it 2001 they beat Birmingham in penalties?
I remember they won the League Cup 95 and they beat Bolton. Stephen McManaman scored twice. When it was still called the Coca-Cola Cup.
What about when it was the Milk Cup? Oh. Remember the Milk Cup?
The Worthington Cup.
The Rumbelows Cup.
I prefer them. Yeah.
The Littlewoods Cup.
It was the Littlewoods Cup, yeah. That was in the 70s, I think, wasn't it? Littlewoods Cup?
Was it, I think maybe 80s.
I can even remember when it was called, want to hear this? The League Cup.
Go away.
Oh, that's how old I am. I can remember when it was called the League Cup.
What kind of stupid name is that?
Yeah.
Is it a league or is it a cup? Choose one. Why put both words in there?
That's probably why they ultimately called it things like Rumbelows Cup and Littlewoods Cup and Milk Cup and Coca-Cola Cup, because League Cup was just too confusing for people.
It is confusing. Just make up your mind.
It's
God
like winning
it.
The Champions League Cup.
The Champions.
Or the old Jasper Carrot one. That must be on YouTube someplace. The Cup Winners, Cup Winners, Cup, Cup, Cup. I'll have to find that and see if I can link that to the podcast. There's a great Jasper Carrot skit about
well, the Champions League is the Champions Club Cup.
You still call that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it amalgamates the old European Cup together, which is quite a nice way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. Yeah, and no confusion.
Well, we're not going to get into a discussion about the Cup Winners' Cup again, because I always like the Cup Winners' Cup.
Cup Winners' Cup, great competition. Yeah, I'm always a fan of that.
Off to more dreary subjects. Administration. Rangers and Portsmouth both in administration. Put in administration last week. Portsmouth for the second time in 2 years. Rangers, for the first time ever, become the first. I think Rangers fans will point out, they've now done something Celtic I've never done.
Yeah.
This one. Do you want to talk about Portsmouth first?
Yeah, I'll talk about Portsmouth first. Just a dire, dire situation. When you're an administrator...
They lived the dream.
And they're now living a nightmare again.
That's what happens.
When your administrator comes in and says in an interview, this is an ugly situation.
Words of encouragement.
Isn't that something to get fans really just revved up? Oh, we're going to be saved.
I think it's particularly foreboding when you actually don't hire... an accountancy firm to be your actual administrators, but you just go straight to the funeral directors.
Listen, we want a simple ceremony. Maybe just that we're thinking about a white box. Is that, that's how much you cut, right? We won't get a box. No. So just actually no box, no. But just throw the body in there. Right?
If Portsmouth they liquidate. This is the problem, isn't it? They've got to go. They're going to tumble down the pyramid. They'd have to come at the bottom again, wouldn't they?
Well,
if they were liquidated.
Well, yeah.
And there is a threat, I guess, as there is with Rangers, actually, as well.
Yeah, it's a
possibility. I'm not saying it will happen. It's just there is that possibility.
It's interesting because essentially, and this is a podcast form, right? So people are listening, going la la la, financial details, blah, boring. But when you read up on the story. Because it's very quick to give just a sentence to illustrate something. But what I would encourage people to do is read up on this, because it, and it's the same with Rangers, it opens up this myriad of names, how much that name is owed, where that relationship began, how long that relationship
the tangled
has
web.
And you know, I would imagine it would make for a great interview to speak with an administrator or someone who has experience in delving through.
Especially one that's jokey.
There is this one club I waited to.
God, you'll never believe
you
this
wait one. Till you hear this.
And
right?
I says to him.
So, yeah.
We could probably get your name.
We could, actually. We've got contacts.
Yeah. I think Brian Jackson did Dundee's. Twice.
So good they got him back a second time.
Yeah. For a return engagement, ladies and gentlemen, give up for
listen. What you
Mr. doing, Brian Jackson?
What are you doing Saturday?
Yeah,
do you want to come down to us again?
They loved you the last time. They loved you. You had them in stitches.
Oh yeah, they were just losing.
Remember that bit when you tore up the contracts?
Remember that when you had your head in your hands and there were literally tears spewing out of your eyes. You said, "I can't take it anymore." It was brilliant. But Portsmouth still have these. Because, you know, like, we've been following a Portsmouth story since the last time they went into administration. Yeah. And all these names are still cropping up. You know, one personal creditor that they still owe 17 million to. That they still owe...
If you say it quick, it doesn't sound so big.
17 million. Also, you know, don't we still owe Wolves money?
And the pie
and
shop.
West Brom as well. And do we still own Bristol City?
But that's the problem, is they've got to settle these debts.
Yeah.
They've got to settle the football club debts.
Mm-hmm.
So that all comes into the creditor proposal. But there's this rule in England where you've got to sell football club debts. And one of the problems, there's always this balance when an administrator comes in. You've got to make the proposal appetizing enough to the creditors that they'll go for it.
Mm.
But if it's too rich, you finish up in a Portsmouth situation that you still burden the club with too much debt and they can't handle it through their cash flow.
Yeah.
And I know we you know, just went through doing, having ha-ha-ha-has about it, but having my team go through it wasn't very pleasant, and they went through it twice, and Portsmouth are going through it twice. What you face up to is reality is the club that's meant so much for you for so many years might not exist anymore.
Yeah.
And it has happened in the past, and it will happen again in the future.
Because we were talking about this on our way here, and that's... and sometimes the most simple questions are always the most difficult to answer. And, you know, you look at football, and you look at what it means to people, and you look at what certain teams mean to people. And, you know, what I said to you was, you know, maybe there's someone out there, you know, who is a fan of Portsmouth or a fan of Rangers who want to invest and want to make a difference. And what you said to me was... You're not just buying the club, you're buying everything that comes along with the current situation the club is in. Because someone has to come in and go, there's a guy at the door, Eastern European guy, he looks quite intimidating. He says we owe him 17 million. Do you want to take this? You know? And that there's these people who are like, yeah, hey, I gave you a couple of million there back in about 2010. And I haven't got it back.
It's written down here.
It's written down here. Who is it? Sasha Giedemach. He signed off on it. He's not around here anymore, is he? No, but...
Bracket, son of arms dealer.
Yeah.
Something I'd just like people to know.
Yeah. This is what... Because essentially what happened to Portsmouth is the parent company who took over them after they pulled them out of administration, they went into administration. Yep. So, are you joking me? Come on. And, you know, I'd imagine, no, I'm not too sure, because the administration of the parent company is also ongoing. I'm not sure how much of that was down to guys going every month, going, where is all this money to Portsmouth going? We're getting invoices left, right and centre.
So you know the situation where Tottenham won the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. We understand fully one of the things that fueled their rise was the fact that they were paying far too much out in wages. And it was unsustainable. So do you think the fans at the end of the day would take the FA Cup win and have no team? Or would, if they had to do it all again, opt for a more reasonably and well-managed club?
Yeah, I mean, trophies are fleeting, aren't they? You know, it's obviously a joyous moment and it's a time of celebration. But, and obviously, you know, I think that if you have a team like Portsmouth who haven't won much in its history,
certainly since the Second World War.
Yeah, absolutely. In a sleepy little town, and it's a little nice seaside club, but it's kind of a fantasy, isn't it, really, to think that those moments are going to be anything other than ad hoc. So surely you would trade...
Hawk is probably not a right one to use.
Hawk.
Because they're in Hawk.
They're in deep Hawk. So you have to look at a team's long-term future and go, we may not be here in 2 years. You know, do you want that or do you want a cup? And Harry Redknapp going, I love you all. I love you all. Was that? Nah. No, but I'm owed that much. I'm leaving. Sod off. Sod off. I'm not.
I'm going to Tottenham. Yeah. Takes us to Rangers. Now, I don't even know where we start with this one. Rangers. Whether you want to besmirch and say, well, it's Scottish football.
No one cares.
The reality is you're still talking about one of the great names of world football with a fan base that is that does stretch around the globe. They are in deep, deep trouble. And it's not just straightforward trouble. This is complicated trouble because they're an owner that may have bought the club but may not have fulfilled the obligations he was supposed to fulfill by buying the club. They have administrators in now. They have a previous owner who doesn't want the club back.
Yeah.
They have a potentially multi-million pound tax liability sitting over their head. One that they cannot, if they have to pay it off or they're forced to pay, cannot pay.
Yeah.
This one, the contracts are, they're talking about players' contracts and terminations will not probably start this week.
Yeah.
But they will start soon. Mm-hmm. And then the fun and games really start.
This is, you know, because as you said, you know, when you get involved in stories in Scottish football, well, really, that's only Scotland. This is Old Firm. This isn't about Scotland anymore. You know, this is about Britain. And, you know, I remember, you know, when I kind of properly started becoming obsessed with the game, and Rangers were arguably the biggest side in Britain in the early 90s.
Beat Leeds.
Got very close to a European.
That early part of that, when Marseille went on, I think, to win it. I'm not sure. Did Marseille win it that year, or did they
Marseille won it
lose
in 93.
Or did they lose in the final on penalty kicks? I can't remember what year it was, but it was...
It's 92, wasn't it?
It was when it was group stage, and there was a second group stage, and really, Rangers were one kick away from making the final.
Yeah, and you had a great squad, you know, you just had some magical players. And then even when you got into the early 90s and the Champions League started changing a little bit, I still remember, you know, Rangers, you know,
this
playing
is team
Juve.
Whether we like it or not, Walter Smith still took this team to the UEFA Cup final a few years ago.
Yeah, and, you know, you go back even to, you know, when Gazza arrived. Gazza had a lot of offers.
Yeah.
He was coming back from Lazio. He chose to go to Rangers. And in the early 90s, you had Terry Butcher going there. You had Chris Woods going there.
Laudrup was there.
You had Laudrup. Oh, yeah, I mean, it was genuinely...
Two Stevens, Gary Stevens, Trevor Stevens.
Yeah. He was just a...
Graham Roberts?
A great setup.
Okay, well, we'll pass on Graham Roberts.
And you know, in fairness, you know, love him or loathe him or whatever, but guys like Ali McCoist were revered as genuine, you know, the highest calibre of European footballers. These guys, you know, just there was an aura about them. And to find yourselves here, where, you know, it's just, again, you go back to... just so many things happening at once. You're trying to.
There's one we were talking about on the way up today, and it kind of encapsulates Rangers, the way Rangers have been run the last number of years. And Celtic had their own brush with death before Fergus McCann came galloping into the boardroom and finally made them see some sense, redeveloped the stadium. And I'd love to know how Celtic fans, who are so critical and have been so critical of Celtic spending practices over the last number of years, and almost imploring them to go into debt to be more successful, feel now when their greatest rival are now in administration, and the financial policies that Celtic have actually pursued have actually turned out to be the most sensible one and the most sustainable one. But the David Murray quote, going back to maybe 10 years ago, comment, I think it was someone along the lines of, for every £5 that Celtic spend, we'll spend 10. And it sounded great bravado.
You know what? That sounds like something Gary Cook would have said. as Man City CEO.
But the fans would just lap up at that time, wouldn't they?
I mean, it's that motivational kind of cry. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're better than them.
No, mate.
It's now put the club in danger of its, to some extent. Well, back to, I'm not saying it will happen, just saying the reality you're forced to confront at this stage is the existence of the club.
Yeah.
Or whether this is Rangers 2012 or 2013 that'll have to be created.
Well, stuff like, you know, last week you went from a story, you know, potentially this week Rangers could find themselves in administration. So you go from Rangers still chasing Celtic at the top of the league to something is a threat, something happens, then literally the next day there's question marks from the police. What can you afford for your game to go ahead at the weekend? Because we need to police it.
But there's also a ton about the police. Strathclyde police are now actively investigating Rangers, meaning the club, meaning the takeover. The SFA are actively investigating the takeover. Mm-hmm. There's information being given to the administrators from lawyers who handled the sale regarding the legalities of the sale and whether certain things have been done or not. And then on top of that, you've got the administrators trying to handle the club, trying to terminate contracts, trying to put the club in some sort of sustainable model for the short term, and then have to negotiate with the creditors and deal with tax cases. This one is as complicated an administration as probably any that I've come across in terms of any of the clubs that have gone in administration that I can remember in the last 20 years.
Because essentially, you know, the main kind of, to sum it up in a sentence, Rangers are fighting the revenue on two counts. They've got the £9 million that they owe them in unpaid taxes.
Which is pretty minor.
Yeah, which is the PAYE.
Yeah,
and it's the income tax on staff's pay slips.
Check will be in the mail next week.
Exactly, that stuff. So that's fine. But they've got this other tax tribunal, which you've alluded to. If they lose that tax tribunal, they owe...
Yeah. It can't
over 100 million pounds.
The British taxpayers finish up footing the bill because they can't pay it. So they just become, 5p on the pound in terms of settlement? Maybe not even 5p on the pound.
There's
a good blog out there, a great blog out there called Rangers Tax Case.
Yeah.
So if anybody is interested in stuff, should go to Rangers Tax Case. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other good articles. There's some mealy-mouthed articles as well out there about this, but there's some very good ones as well.
And also, I'd urge people to be wary of particular vibes from articles written about Rangers and the current situation they find themselves in, depending on the background as to who's writing that particular article. Because it's very easy to kind of go, it serves them right.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be great without them. And all that sort of stuff.
High moral ground.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to see Rangers disintegrate into nothingness.
This one has got miles and miles to go. And has got the makings of some, I think, a couple of great books and stuff that is going to make incredibly interesting reading over the next, I wouldn't say even a few weeks, I'm talking about months.
And
by the time this one begins to, here's the problem, I think. It has to totally unravel first before you can see it being put back together again.
Yeah.
And we are months away from it unravelling totally.
Yeah, and to compound matters, at the weekend they're beaten by Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
So as much as...
What is it, 17 point gap now, is it?
You know, you lose those 10 points.
Yeah.
So you lose a championship.
And repercussions for Europe as well. Not that...
Because you
Scottish clubs in Europe have had great success the last couple of years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you still qualify for Europe if you finish second, because the gap between second
and third
is laughable.
But now you're looking at... If you're still in administration, you ain't playing in Europe.
No. And this is also, you know, the questions around, you know, the playing staff, fine. Management.
Walter Smith retired in good time, didn't he? Good time in Walter.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you could see something coming along the way.
We saw light at the end of the tunnel.
It's interesting that it's
a bullet train.
Yeah. You get out of jail at a particular time to go, yeah, I think it's... you know, you have similar things where, you know, we had a politician back home before the recession went completely into free fall. Who just, yeah, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of stepping. It's time to give someone else a bit of a run at this.
Run away.
Into the sunset. Washes his hands clean of the whole thing. I'm not saying that Walter Smith has no. I mean, what he's done for Rangers Football Club is incredible. But perhaps Mr. Murray has some questions to answer, maybe, as well as Mr. Craig White.
White, yeah. Maybe out of all this, and there's, as I said, there's many weeks and many months before this unravels, but maybe there's just an inkling, and I saw this being alluded to in an article this morning. Maybe there is a chance that Rangers actually could become, a la Barcelona and Real Madrid, a actual supporters-run club out of all this.
Yeah.
It's got some potential.
If there's any time to do it, or at least...
This would be
try to do it.
And leverage, at least leverage the participation in the restructuring of the club in such a way they get a greater level of representation on the board. Because they are continue to be a well-supported club, not just in Scotland, but around the world. That brings us to an end, this Soccer Report Extra podcast for this week. I'm Bobby McMahon, on behalf of Will Callahan and producer Luke Crawford. Thank you for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast. Make sure you never miss another episode. Subscribe through iTunes or listen on your mobile device on demand with Stitcher. For more great soccer news, highlights, and analysis, watch the Fox Soccer Report every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Soccer and Fox Sports World Canada. And be sure to check out SoccerReportExtra.com daily for previews, opinions, and reviews. Music for this production provided by 2 Cent Bridge.